The standard in our lives is not our grandfather, as good as he may have been. And the standard in our lives is not our mom or our dad, as strong a Christians as they might have been. The standard in our lives, Jesus said, you be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Now that's a standard that is out there.
You broke my chains of sin and shame, and you covered me with grace. And you mend my life with your holy fire. You cover me with grace. And you are the hand that reaches out to save.
It's the Tuesday edition of Abounding Grace, and we're blessed that you chose to join us. Today, Pastor Ed continues his study from Judges, and we're going to hear part three of his lesson titled, False Religion Ends in Disaster. Our text for this message is from chapters 17 and 18. Employees in the banking industry who handle money on a regular basis are taught to spot counterfeit bills by handling real ones all day long. They feel the texture of the bills and notice the coloring and thickness of the special paper used. This way, they recognize the fake right away. When we stay grounded in God's Word and study the Bible consistently, we can spot the fake religions as well. Stay close to God's Word, and you'll stay close to God. Before we join Pastor Ed, for those of you listening to us in the Denver area, we'd like to tell you about a great TV station on the air. It's Grace TV, and it can be found on digital channel 10.4 off the air. For more info, including instructions on how to set up your TV and a list of teachers and programs, go to gracetvdenver.com. Again, it's gracetvdenver.com. Now grab your Bibles and follow along with Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
Verse 19, they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It's better for you to be a priest of the household of one man. Or is it better for you to be the priest of a household of one man or be the priest of a tribe?" And so now they're playing on his desire for money, his pride. They saw him. They saw right through him. And so the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the household idols and the carved image and took his place among the people. And they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. It says in verse 22, when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, and so they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you've gathered such a company?" And so he said, "You've taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, you've gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us." Basically, shut up, you know. "You guys, you're so messed up. You can't tell us what to do, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life and the lives of your household." And then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So his false religion didn't really work for him. His false religion isn't really helping him. He doesn't have anyone to cry out to. He doesn't have any God to cry out to. He doesn't have any strength. He doesn't have armed men. He has nothing, because that's where false religion will lead you. False religion always ends in disaster. Walking away from God always ends in a disaster. Creating idols and creating gods in your own image and my own image always ends in disaster. And here Micah, playing games with God, pays a price. Verse 27, they took the things that Micah had made and the priests who had belonged to him and went to Laish, a people who were quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon. And they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rahab. And they built the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribes of Dan until the day of the captivity of their land. And so they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. If you go to Israel today, there'll be an area where you'll see the idolatry of Dan. That's just where it all started in their hearts when they decided to go halfway. But before we leave, I have one word of warning to all of us. And it's found in John chapter 10. Would you turn there with me as we wind down? There's a lot to be learned in this section. We see the life of Micah. We see his mom. We see the condition of the nation. But I want to just spend a few moments zeroing in on this Levite, this spiritual leader. If you like to take notes in your Bible, you can just circle anywhere in that section. You could write at the top of the chapter, this Levite is a hireling. Guess what he is? He was a spiritual leader for hire. He was after the buck. He was using the ministry to make himself rich. He was going to follow the money and not the Lord. He's a hireling. They steal the idols, these guys from Dan, but they also take the priest. They didn't have to steal him. All they needed to do is put a little money in front of him. Say, come on, will you follow us? And then notice how they did it. They did it like pricking his heartstrings of pride. Hey, I know you're a priest to this family, but wouldn't it be better if you were a priest to this tribe? How about this question that we could add? Wouldn't it be better to obey God? Make your decisions unto him? But he's not there. Why? Because he's a hireling. He's not legit. Doesn't matter what title he has, he's not legit. Beginning in verse 10, Jesus said this of John chapter 10. He said, the thief, speaking of the devil, does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus marks a contrast. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And now you see why it's not wise to half-heartedly follow after God, to negotiate with the devil, to think you can work a deal with him. Because the devil, when he negotiates, he's not after just a little bit. When you negotiate in the realm of the enemy, this world system, the temptations of that, when you mess around, like he doesn't just want a little bit. Like he isn't there just to take a little bit of your life. He's not there to just take a portion of it. He's not there to just destroy a part of your life. He wants it all. He wants to destroy your complete life. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible speaks of him, Peter does. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he speaks of the devil roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And those that fall into his trap are often devoured. But Jesus, he says, I'm a good shepherd. I know the devil's come, but I've come to give life. I know the enemy. I know where he's at. I know the thief. He just comes to rip you off. But I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He's the model. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the true shepherd has these characteristics about him. In verse 9, the Bible says that the good shepherd saves here in chapter 10. In verse 10, it says that the good shepherd secures and gives love abundantly and life abundantly, and he satisfies. Jesus came to give, not to take. And that's the mark of the church of Jesus Christ. The church is here to give, to bless, to encourage, not to take. And therefore, those that are true leaders in the church of Jesus Christ are here to serve, not to be served. Vital. Those are marks you can look for in leaders, in servants. The true servant of Jesus will give rather than take. He'll minister to you rather than wanting to be ministered to. A minister, a servant of the Lord, is more interested in the welfare of the flock of God than he is in his own welfare, in his own status, in his own position. That woman that would serve the Lord as a shepherdess, an under-shepherdess, is there to serve not for themselves. And the ministry is not a place. It's not a position to get into to serve yourself. It's just not that way. It's not a way to build yourself up. It's not a way to get the pats on the back. The ministry and serving Jesus, especially in these last days, isn't easy. It's not easy giving and giving. I mean, you might even get to that point. I've given and I've given and I've given. Lord, what do you want me to do? Give some more. What? I don't have anything else to give. And you can almost hear heaven say, I'm glad you've exhausted all your resources. Now trust in me. I've got a lot to give through you. I want to use you in these last days. I want you to be a vessel of my love. I want to use you with your family and your friends, and I want to use you at work. I want you to be a good shepherd. I want you to learn from me, Jesus is saying. Because here's the opposite. Verse 12. It says, he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees. And you go, why, Lord? Why does the hireling flee? And he says, because he's a hireling. Thanks, Jesus. That's great. But here's the heart of the matter. He flees because he's a hireling. And you just mark this. He doesn't care about the sheep. That's how you know if you're a hireling or not. It's not just the money. It's whether you care about the sheep or not. Do you really care? There's a big difference between the shepherd who loves the sheep and a hireling that loves himself. A hireling always lacks commitment, and a hireling always lacks concern. And at the slightest hint of danger or peril or stretching, the hireling seeks to save himself. And he lets the flock just go and do it and be a prey to the wolves. And of course, we know that there are spiritual wolves that come through the church all the time. They don't look like wolves. They're dressed in sheep's clothing. But the leaders here, not being hirelings, but being under shepherds of our great shepherd, always have their eyes and ears open to protect the sheep. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for our own bellies. We're not here to hide in our offices. We're not here to do our own thing and let you just kind of run wild. We're here to serve you. And may God bust us and convict us when we no longer have a servant's heart. When we no longer care. We have no business being in the ministry if we don't care about you. We have no business being in a place of spiritual leadership if all we care about is ourselves. Because that's the ingredient of being a hireling. It doesn't have anything to do or necessarily with money as much as it does your heart. And that's what Jesus says. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. And I think today, God is looking for more shepherds, more shepherdesses, more men and women that will serve his people. What Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 2-ish, he said, these things that you have learned, Timothy, commit them to faithful men that they might teach others also, that they might hand it down, that the heritage of ministry will be handed down and handed down so that people will continue to get saved. People will continue to get discipled. People will continue to be sent out. But hirelings don't do that. Servants do and shepherds do. And I think even today, God is looking for shepherds for his people. He's looking for shepherds to put in places of leadership. He's looking for shepherds and shepherdesses that will love and protect the flock. God isn't looking for hirelings. They're not hard to find. Very easy to spot. I hesitate to even tell you this, but just turn on so-called Christian television. No, don't do that. Just take my word for it. It's all over the place. God isn't looking for hirelings. There's too many in the churches today, and they just keep multiplying. And it's not for me to understand their motives. That's not my business. That's not where I stand. I can just say this. I can speak for myself and those that serve with me. That we don't want to be hirelings. We want to serve the Lord. Anyone that's ever served in a church or on a church staff knows that you could never pay someone enough to do all that they do for the Lord. And those of you that work full-time and you serve here, I mean, we could never appreciate you enough for what you do unto the Lord. If we tried, we did exhausted trying to express that appreciation. And that's why, as we express that appreciation, we want to be careful not to steal your reward from heaven, because that's where the real bonus is right there. What you do in secret, the Bible says the Father will reward you openly. And we could never, with money or with words, give enough appreciation that would give you that sense of, yes, this is satisfying. But we can love you unto Jesus, and at the cross you're satisfied, and it's worth it. Just one testimony is worth it. One family is worth it, let alone one after another, after another, after another, after another. It's worth it. Those of you that are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, quit. Right? No, he says, come unto me. I'm so excited to be able to serve you, to be able to minister to you, to be involved in your lives, to watch you serve as shepherds and shepherdesses and not as hirelings. I'm so incredibly excited about what Jesus is doing among us. You say, well, Pastor Ed, I don't serve in the church. Do you pray for the church? You're a servant. You know, I'm not at the building all that much. Yeah, but do you help your neighbor in the name of Jesus? You're a servant. Well, you know, Ed, if you looked around for me, you probably wouldn't know me, but Jesus knows you. And you need to be refreshed in him. So you don't give up. So you don't burn out. So you're reminded of why you do what you do and why God's enlisted you and why you serve him and why he wants to use you. You don't want to be like this Levite in Judges. Just going to the highest bidder. Hey, is there a new deal? Is there a better opportunity? Is there more money? No. Just, Jesus, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? I want to serve you. I don't need any recognition. I think recognition is overrated sometimes to get all the attention because you spend so much of your time trying to just take people right past you. You don't want the recognition. You want Jesus to have it. That's why you serve, right? To bring him glory. And I like some of the new songs we've been singing that talk about the fame of Jesus. Have you noticed that? We have a couple songs that we sing that talks about Jesus being famous. I like that because that's all that really matters. But you're not going to get there as a hireling. And if you're starting to see those tendencies pop up in your heart, you're starting to feel that, you're starting to look for the next best thing and you're looking for a new deal and you're not satisfied and you haven't learned for contentment and you're just kind of in the flesh, stop it. Come back to the Lord. Find your satisfaction in him. Don't be like that Levite. Because Micah, at the end of Judges, he loses it all. His false religion led him to ultimate disaster. Because that's where it leads. And his bad example led to more idolatry, more sin, more trouble, more heartache. And Lord, just help us to live wholly for you. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us, Lord, to cling to you no matter what. Help us, Lord, to walk in your integrity and in your character and in your power. Deliver us from any hireling heart and drop into us a selfless, sacrificial servant shepherd's heart that we would love to be among the people. That we would love to serve you. That we would love to bring people to you, Jesus. And forgive us where we've erred, where we've strayed, where we've drifted. I know some people are tired. I know. Refresh them, Lord. Your word says that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. That, Lord, you would descend upon us in the power of your Holy Spirit. That you would baptize us afresh and anew. That we would be so open to you, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, that we might run our race with joy, the joy of your salvation. And I pray for those that are here, Lord, that have never entered into that joy. They've never repented of their sins. They've never turned from sin and turned to you. They've never called upon you for salvation, but you have been tugging on them and you've been working on them. And you've been drawing them with cords of love. And you've been bringing them, Lord, to a place of conviction. And today, in this moment, is right now, is their time to respond. And I pray for them and lift them up to you right now. And if you're here today and you'd say, Ed, that's me. I need my life to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The very blood that was represented right up here as many were taking communion and some will after. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to be saved, man. I need to be right with God. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray with you. And you could say, Like one of the songs we sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. God bless you. Who else? Who else has God has been tugging on you and working on you and you just sense that distance, that need to not live your own life, but to live for God. The Bible says to believe and to confess. Anyone else? Maybe downstairs. You know who you are. Let's make it something verbal. Let's make this decision not just standing, but now saying. Because that's what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to confess with your mouth. To call upon God today, here publicly with people that love you and care for you. And if you responded, standing or sitting, you can pray with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and you can repeat after me. You can use your own words or you can use mine. But let it be from the heart. Let it be from you to God. Let it be real and genuine. You could say something like this. Dear God, I admit that I've sinned against you and that I need your forgiveness. I believe, Jesus, you're the only way to be saved, that you live for me and you died for me and you rose again to forgive me of my sin. And I confess that to you today. Help me to turn from my sin, God. Help me to repent, to leave my past behind me. And help me to follow you. Send people into my life, God, that will help me. Give me a hunger to read your Bible and to understand it. And I give you my life from this day forward. Take it, God, and use it all the days I have left. And Father, I know that anyone would pray to you from their heart. You totally hear it. And you answer the prayer of repentance every single time. And I pray that the seed has gone down on good ground tonight. Not only for the unbelievers, but for us, Lord. I wonder how many of us have that hireling mentality where we just don't seem to care as much anymore. It's all just become repetitious. Our hearts have grown a little hard maybe, or we've got into some routine and like we're missing out of all that you want to do in us. That we don't view serving you as a job or a chore, Lord, but a joy, such a privilege. And raise up for us here at Calvary more shepherds, more shepherdesses, more men and women that are sold out to you, Lord. And give us the privilege of discipling them and training them and watching them flourish in what the gifts and callings you've given to them. And at the end of the day, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, all the attention, all the accolades for the great things you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We include these times of altar call in our broadcast for several reasons. Number one, we hope that you're blessed to know that someone has opened their heart to the truth and that their sins have been washed clean by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The other reason is perhaps the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and wash your sins away. Well, I'm blessed to tell you that if you've sincerely prayed that prayer along with Pastor Ed, you've been forgiven and you're now a child of God. Won't you take a moment to contact us and let us know about your decision? It would be a tremendous blessing to hear from you. I'll have that contact information for you in just a moment. Be with us tomorrow as we begin our final three-part message from the book of Judges. Perhaps you're not able to tune in again tomorrow, or your schedule only allows you to listen to this program on a limited basis. Well, there are several options for you to hear this broadcast again. First, I'd like to direct you to our website at calvaryaurora.org. There you can listen to this daily broadcast at your convenience 24 hours a day. By clicking on the archived Bible studies page, you can listen to Pastor Ed's entire message via live streaming. If the internet's not your thing, you can call or write and order a copy of this study on an audio CD. When you contact us, ask for CD number 0711. Once again, that's CD number 0711, and we suggest a donation of $2 to help cover the cost of the materials and shipping. Any additional amount helps to keep Abounding Grace on the air. For your copy or to financially support this radio outreach, write to Abounding Grace at P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, spelled A-U-R-O-R-A, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Again, it's Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado, 80046. If you'd prefer to order by phone, call us toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. That number again is 877-304-7223. You can also email us through our website. Again, the address on the web is calvaryaurora.org. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
Yes, Lord.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.